Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Judges, chapter 6 and verse 12. Judges, chapter 6 and verse 12. Judges, chapter 6 and verse 12 reads this way, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, with expecting hearts, knowing that you are in our very midst. And so we ask, Lord, for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to empower the service, to open up our hearts to hear from you, that you might be honored and glorified, and that we might grow in the grace and faith that you've given to us. Bless each one. Bless Northwood Baptist Church, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "The Lord is with thee." The Lord is with thee. It's important for the believer in the Lord to know what it means for the Lord to be with us. It's one thing to hear this truth. It's something completely different for God, listen, to bring us into that truth. To hear it and know what God is saying is one thing, but for God to bring us into the truth is something completely different. And our God intends this truth to be a life-changing experience for the child of God. It's really meeting with the Lord. When Moses met with God, did that change him? Yeah, it did change him. It even changed his physical appearance, didn't it? When we meet with the Lord, when we met with the Lord for salvation, it changed our eternal destination, didn't it? When we meet with God, God intends to change our lives. I don't understand it, but we are created in the image of God. And not only that, God intends for you and I, as the Spirit of God indwells us, to be empowered by His grace, by His mercy, by all the fruits that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a process, and it's not an easy process. Well, it's easy for the Lord. We're just a difficult individual sometimes. Our nature is difficult to understand these things because we deal with the natural realm. But God already knew that. It's still God's will to bring us into this truth, to understand that the Lord is with us. Let me ask you this question. Do you always feel that the Lord is with you? Have you ever felt at times, where's God? Where's the Lord? Well, the truth is, spiritually speaking, the truth is, and you'll agree with me on this, I'm sure, I know we don't always feel that way, God never left us. Amen? God never left us, but we can feel abandoned. So let's look at this this truth that God wants to bring us into. And let's notice the difficulties. The first thing we're going to look at is Gideon's conflict and contradiction. Secondly, we're going to look at the Lord's work of humility and faith, or God's preparation for the task. This is God prepares us. Did God create you and I with a purpose in mind? Did he just do that at our birth? Oh, let's do this with them. Or did he, in eternity past, before anything was ever created, he already had you and I in his mind? That is mind-boggling, but that's the truth of it all. And so God knows that he's got a task on his hands that is not impossible for the Lord, but a task nonetheless to prepare us to walk in this truth, to understand that the Lord is with us. Was the Lord with Abraham when he promised him Isaac? And yet Sarah and Abraham had this wonderful idea with Hagar, and it produced Ishmael, right? And that was not God's plan, but that's what happens, and that's what God knows he's working with. And then we're going to look at the Lord's faith-building process. That's going to be in verses 16 through 21. And then we're going to look at God brings Gideon to the place of reverence and worship. And that's the truth. God is wanting to bring you and I to the place of reverence and worship. Let me ask you this to give you a little bit idea of what that means. What will it be like when you see the Lord for the very first time face to face? You will be brought to the place, for sure, of reverence and worship. We all will. We have no idea. We can't imagine. How close are we to imagine? We are infinitely far away. We can imagine, and it won't even come close to what we're going to experience. Isn't that good? All right, so let's look at these things. We're going to back up a little bit. Go back to let's look at verse 11 here. And you have to see this. And I want you to pay attention tonight. I want you to pay special attention to the word Lord, okay? And there came an angel of the Lord. Do you see all those letters are capitalized? All right, that's important. And sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, I'll get that right, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. There he is working. The Midianites had overtaken everything there. They really put everything in ruins, and they were taking everything. And by the way, Gideon did not, he had servants, so he was not from a poor home, but they were put into poverty by what the Midianites were doing to them. And the angel, verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think Gideon believed that statement? He did not believe it. Do you always believe the Lord is with you? No. And we are all alike in a lot of different ways concerning our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good thing, because as we read the scriptures, we can say, yeah, I see that. I understand this process. So let's look at Gideon. He's not buying it. He really isn't. Notice what he says here in verse 12. Well, we'll see it here in just a minute, following verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And he's hiding. Verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord. Now look at that word, Lord. Gideon at this point does not know it's Almighty God in front of him. He thinks it's a prophet. And that's my conjecture on my part. He thinks it's a messenger. He does not realize that it is actually the Lord. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord. Now notice the difference there. If the Lord, that's God. Do you see the difference right there? They're right there, right next to each other. You see capital L, lowercase O-R-D. And then if the Lord be with us, that's all capitalized, right? Okay. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? So let's get this picture. Something's wrong in the eyes of Gideon. He's saying, if the Lord is with us, but now listen, what he doesn't understand, and I don't have time to go back there tonight. I'm going to challenge you to go back to verse 1. But Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and so God sent the Midianites in there for 7 years to punish them. And they did. And they did. So why is all this befallen us? In the mind of Gideon, he doesn't think there's any problem. But there was sin inside of God's people, and God said, I will not bless sin. I'm not going to bless a people who willfully worship false gods. And his father was one. Now, let's just look at that for a moment. God is wanting to do a work. He heard the cry of his people. And so he sent them a prophet. In fact, just back up just for a moment. And so here they are. They're impoverished in verse 6. If you look at that, and Israel was what? Greatly what? Impoverished because of the Midianites. And then look at verse 8. He heard their cry, and then he said in verse 7, and then the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And he mentions what the problem is. And so he's telling them there's a problem now, and you've got to be willing and wanting to do business with God. God is not one that takes anybody half-heartedly, right? Can you halfway believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? You've got to be all in or you're out. And so likewise, in our commitment of faith to the Lord, you got to be willing to be all in. And here it is, not for us to do something, but for God to do something. And you'll find that's God's way every time. We've got it flipped around, backwards. We've got the cart in front of the horse, as the old saying goes. That's not going to get us anywhere fast. So understand what the problem is. And Gideon is still answering the question. Look at the mercy of God. He heard the cry of his people and he had compassion toward them. So he is moving now to do something for his people. And he's going to use Gideon. Gideon is not a likely candidate. But here's the good news. Neither are you and I. But God takes the weak things to confound this world and to strengthen his people that he might receive all the honor and glory. Be glad that God uses the weak things. If you think, oh, listen, spiritually speaking, there's not a whole lot in me. Well, then you're in a good place. And realize that you've got a great God that wants to do 50% for you. Is that what you got, a 50% God? No, you've got 100% God. And he doesn't want us to do anything but to look to him and count on him to do everything for us, that we might walk triumphantly as his people. And when people say, well, how is it that you serve the Lord? Because of his grace, his mercy, and his power that's on my life. All right. So there's the conflict and the contradiction in verse 13. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, he's complaining. Where are the miracles that our fathers told of us, talking about the deliverance from Israel, from Egypt, I'm sorry. But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, that's true, but why? Because of Israel's sin. Look at our world today. It's crazy, isn't it? But God still has a people. God's not asking the world to look to him. God's asking his people to look to him. And if we want to do business with the Lord, we've got to set aside what the world is trying to tell us. How does the world talk to us? Media? Internet? Internet covers it all, doesn't it? Cell phone, computer. Have you ever heard any good news from the news? Just really, have you ever heard? It's all bad. It's all negative. I mean, granted, every now and then they'll throw you a little token good story that has nothing really related to real life. Have you ever noticed that? Our joy can only be found as people of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world has no hope without him. Neither do we. Neither do we. Now, look at this. Look at the Lord's work of humility and faith, or God's preparation for the task. And here we're going to look at the word Lord here, okay? Verse 13 says this, and Gideon said unto him, O Lord. Now what you have to know is that word there is in the, I'll tell you the Strong's number for it. It is H113. And it's the word Adon. And the word Adon in the Hebrew means Lord, Master. It's a reference to men, but it is also a reference to God. But in this particular case, it's a reference to somebody that we would have respect for. That's why it's conjecture on my part. I'll tell you right up front, I'm convinced, and I'll show you why, that Gideon thinks this is a prophet, that another prophet that God is using to share good news. So he's showing reverence for this individual, this man of God that has approached him, but it's the Lord himself. All right, so look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Now, that word Lord there is the wonderful word. And by the way, when he also uses in verse 13, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, this is the same word that you have heard of that's Jehovah. So it's Jehovah. Some say Jehovah. In this particular case, it's Jehovah, and that is Strong's H1961. All right? And so this means, this is defined as the existing one and is the proper name for the one true God. So as we look at this, he is talking about God. He's giving reverence, thinking he's speaking to a prophet. And so verse 14 again, You find this here, and the Lord looked upon him, verse 14, and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And notice this. This is the authority now. Listen, have not I sent thee? That right there, when he says, I've sent thee, that is the authority of God. So Gideon is still not seeing this. But question, how many times have we looked at things and not seen them? Amen? Spiritually speaking, we looked at things and not seen them. Okay. So now we want to look here at the Lord's faith-building process. Look at verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Does Gideon have a high esteem of himself? Well, that's a good place to be. Because you can't have anything with the Lord and have a high esteem. What is he saying? I'm the least. I'm nothing. That's how we have to approach the Lord when it comes to spiritual things. If we're going to hear from him. The Lord already knew this of Gideon. And now he's making a confession. He's saying, I'm nothing. I can't do it. So if you're struggling with things spiritually speaking in your life, you need to settle it and say, I can't do it. Stop trying. And ask God. Amen. Amen? Ask God. So Gideon is being brought to this place, and the Lord is the one that is doing the work. Gideon would have never come to this had the Lord not approached him. So now Gideon is, listen, he's been told something by what he thinks is a prophet, and God is saying, you're going to do it. And Gideon just looked at himself and says, I'm nothing. And don't you know, really, that's where he needed to be. All right, so verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, listen to this, surely I'll make you strong and you'll be able to do it. Is that what it says? No. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee and thou shalt smite the Midians as one man. Did God have any doubts of how this was going to take place? Was God thinking Gideon was going to do it in his own strength? Never. How did God know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he was going to be victorious? Because God was going to be in the middle of it all. I mean, didn't God really make the circumstances undeniably known that there was no way that they could win unless God did it? All right. So we look here and it says, and the Lord, and that you see that's all capitalized, said unto him, surely I will be with thee. He's not getting this yet because he's not reading it. He's living it. Amen? He didn't see all he heard was this. He thought it was a prophet saying, I'll be with thee. I'll be with thee. All right. So, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Listen, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Verse 17, and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. When we seek the presence of the Lord, God substantiates our faith and our communion with him. God knew that Gideon was going to need this. I need to know that you're with me, right? So as we look at this, we find the Lord's faith-building process here. And he says, I want you to know that I'm going to be with you. He says, if I found grace in thy sight, show me something. And then listen, this is already on his mind. Look at what he says here. Verse 18, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. This was Gideon's idea. No, it wasn't. It was, and it wasn't. It was the Lord. Did the Lord know what Gideon needed and to build up his faith? He put it in his heart to do this. See, that we don't understand that. But Gideon says, I've come up with this idea. Well, this is what we do when God is with us. We come up with these ideas, and yet God is doing the work. Okay. So he says, don't leave. The Lord says, okay, I'll wait for you. Verse 19, and Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. So he listen, you've got to prepare a kid. I mean, listen, how long would that have taken? maybe an hour. I don't know. Don't leave. That's why he said, don't leave. I'm going to be a little while here. Don't leave. Well, God never left. Okay. So he presents it. Now watch this. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Listen to this. Then, this is the Lord building up his faith. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Listen, and there arose up a fire where? Out of the rock. Nobody put fire to it. It came out of the rock. When was the last time you were at a campfire and there was a rock there and it just lit the fire for you? All right? This is important. So it lights up. But not only that, it says this, and consume the flesh in verse 21, and the unleavened cakes, then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now look at this revelation, and this is the last part that we're going to look at tonight, and that is that God brings Gideon to the place of reverence and worship, and notice this, ready? And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, and that word Lord there is Adonai, and that is signifying the Lord, and that is the title spoken in the place of Yahweh, the Jewish display of reverence. When he said that, when we get into the presence of God, we're going to want to bow. We're going to want to do that, and that's what was happening right here. Now notice this, and Gideon said, alas, O Lord, and this is, in fact, I'm sorry, this is the word Adonai right here. I looked it up. The first one is Yahweh or Jehovah, and in this one here with the lowercase, alas, O Lord, is Adonai, and that is specifically talking to the Lord. Even though it's in lowercase letters, you look it up in the Strong's Concordance and you're going to find out it's a different word in the Hebrew that is making reverence toward the Lord. It's very important to understand. We look at the word Lord and that's capital L-O and lowercase O-R-D as the same thing, but these are two different words. One is addressed to men and God. This one's specifically God alone. He says, and Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, or maybe a pre-incarnate vision, or not a vision, but an appearance of the Lord. And Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord, Adonai, or Jehovah, sorry, face to face. Now listen, where's the Lord now? He departed out of his sight, right? And the Lord said unto him, I don't know how, if he heard it inside, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Because Gideon understood what happens when you look into the face of God. And then Gideon, listen to this, built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, right? And that has to do with peace. Unto this day, it is yet an Ophrah of the Abiezerites. I'll get that right. Now, the next thing we're not going to look at it tonight is the task or the command. But what I want you to see is before the Lord gave him what he wanted him to do, he had to first let him know that the Lord was with him. Before we can ever do anything, don't be thinking you're doing something for God. If the Lord's not with you, nothing's going to come of it. Nothing's going to come of it. I watched some people win people, supposedly these famous people, to the Lord. And it's such a horrible testimony, really. Well, you believe in God. Yeah, okay, you're a Christian. Really? The devils believe in God too. And they tremble. So that's not a true conversion to get somebody to say, unless they understand their sin and the separation that's caused and brought between them and the Lord, that's not salvation. Billionaire recently made some kind of a profession. You ought to watch that profession. It is weak. It's no profession at all because there's no understanding of their sin debt and what the Lord had done for them. Um, but But see, when we don't think the Lord is with us and working for us, we're going to be failures. God brought this about in the life of Gideon because he knew what Gideon was getting ready to face, and he needed that. You and I have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but if we think we're out there by ourselves doing this for God, we're not going to be brought to the place of worship. We're not going to sense. Listen, you and I have the privilege and the opportunity to watch God work in our lives and say, yes, God. Yes, I thank many of you who pray for the Lord to give me the messages that he wants his people to hear. I thank you for that. And after every service, I thank the Lord for his blessing on his word. I have preached before without, and you know, historical facts or what have you. I may have impressed with an illustration, but not like this. God gives us a truth to consider the application to our own lives, that we can have the kind of relationship that he wants us to have, that our life is empowered by his glory and his grace, that where we can be faithful to the Lord on a daily basis. I didn't say without sin, but we could be faithful and found faithful when the Lord returns. God is not asking for sinless perfection, but he's not asking for a poor testimony either, or to be filled up with sin. He's wanting things to be overcome in our lives, and you and I can never do it on our own. The Lord has to be with us. And so the Lord is with thee. You may understand that, but ask God to bring you into that truth. And we'll experience, God wants to substantiate that truth, but we have to be wanting and willing to meet with him and to believe in him and ask God for the faith, whatever it is. Come with him with that little grain of faith and ask him to bless that and watch what God wants to do. I am convinced, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that he expects the church to be found without wrinkle or spot, to be washed in the water of the word. Amen? Do you believe that? He is preparing for himself. Who's doing the work if he's preparing for himself? A chaste bride. And if we'll approach the Lord with that and say, yes, God, I see, your word says it. There's a problem that's not being fulfilled. Please fulfill it in me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We ask that you bless the rest of the time together as we break off for prayer. Lord, we ask that you would do a work in the hearts of all of the membership at Northwood Baptist Church and all of your churches, Lord, that we might experience your great grace and be found faithful when you return. Again, bless and we'll thank you. Thank you for each one that's turned aside tonight, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.